after the Champions League final in 2023, I wanted to try and track down a City fan who had perhaps been to Istanbul, but had also been to Vienna in 1970 when City won the European Cup Winners' Cup. I was hoping to find someone who could talk about their experiences at both, and we could basically compare and contrast that. So I found out that Colin Smith had actually attended both, and so we agreed to have a chat. And for the next hour or so, we chatted about his experiences then, his experiences now, and here's his story for you to listen to. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
Okay, my name's Colin Smith, and I'm 70 in September.
Right, excellent. So, Colin, you went to all three of City's European finals. Do you want to tell me about 1970, first of all? How did you get there, and how did it go?
Well, I was 16 at the time. I was still at school in the fifth form at Ermston Grammar School. And it was GCE time in the April. And my brother was going with his friends, he's a few years older than me. So I minded my parents to see if I could go. And I went on the trip from City. It was done by a travel firm called Gay Tours, and it was from Manchester Airport, and hotel and everything was included for I think the figure was £32. That nice. Included a match ticket, a flight, and an hotel. My dad helped me pay for it. I had some spends, and I ended up going on the Wednesday. But I had to get permission from the school because it was exam time. But I didn't have any exams on the Wednesday or the Thursday or the Friday.
Good.
So, well arranged. So that was it. I went with my brother. We went to Manchester Airport. Jumped on a Danair flight to Austria.
So you'd have been, what, 16, 17? 16.
I was 16.
16.
Yeah. Yeah.
And had you been abroad much before that?
No, I think I'd been on a family holidays. We once went to Germany and that was about it really.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's not easy to get abroad, obviously, and it costs money, but back in 1970. It was unusual for people to go.
That was the first time on a plane.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So at that age, I mean, what an experience all round, really. You know, just even getting to the airport and getting on a plane.
Well, yeah, it was an unreal experience, really, because we went to the airport, we flew to Austria, we were picked up by a coach, we were took to an hotel, dropped off. I won't say it was the best of hotels, but it was okay. We had a walk around the city centre. I can remember these big, massive buildings and things. And then I would imagine it was, you know, around, I think the kickoff was 7:30. Around 5:00, we were picked up and took to the stadium. And as you probably know, it rained all night near enough.
Yeah. And it was mostly uncovered, wasn't it, the stadium?
It was an uncovered stadium, yeah. And there was no shelter whatsoever.
Yeah. And I know the crowd, you know, people talk about the crowd as being, 10,000, 12,000, that sort of figure. And I guess playing a Polish team meant that they didn't have many fans there.
No.
So was it mostly Blues?
Yeah, it was mostly City fans, and they were like in two sections on either side of the ground. Around the goal area, there was a bit sparse, and I think they were made up of locals, but it wasn't much interest to the local Austrians, I don't think. The Gornik fans there was, I don't know, say 100 or so, something like that, who were on the same side as where I was. When it rained at half time, you could actually shelter in the tunnel, you know, to get the exit tunnel. And there was a few in there then. That's all I remember, with the little red and white flags.
Because it was funny, was it? Because I know, obviously, in England, there was the FA Cup final replay, so it wasn't live on English TV.
No.
And in Austria, I know from some research I've done before, there was another major sort of Austrian game on that same night. So even local TV and everything, it just wasn't, it wasn't the same. But obviously, it's a European final, and it's this fantastic City team of the period as well. You know, and Joe Mercer and Malcolm Allison obviously boasting that we're going to scare Europe to death and all this. So going into it, did you think, how did you feel? I mean, what was it like?
It was, you'd won the FA Cup in 69. You were doing okay in the league, but you just seem to go into football games again like we are at the moment. You're going to win. You know, you think you're going to win. There's no thought of defeat. They had a great run to the final and some great games at Main Road, great nights. And on the day, we just thought we'd win. There was a lot of talk about certain Górnik players who were Polish, but you didn't even know who they were them days.
So I think that's the thing, is it, that even into the 70s, you never saw many European games. You'd see an odd international game, but usually it would only be an international game involving England or maybe Scotland or Wales would be on occasion, I suppose. So even the great, great Italian teams or Spanish teams or German teams, you didn't really see, did you? You know,
No. Well, we'd only had the one season in the Champions League, well, the European Cup then, and we got beat by Fenerbahce. And, you know, so we'd only had one entrance into Europe. So then the second year was the Cup Winners Cup, because we'd won the FA Cup previous year.
And we thrashed Schalke in the semi as well, didn't
we? Yeah, that was one of the great, great nights. Yeah, I went to them all then. You know, I used to go to all the games then, more or less. But that was, I never went away in Europe then, you know, obviously. But, you know, that was a great night when we beat Schalke 5-1.
Yeah. And so at the final then, did you know many other City fans? Would be the sort of usual faces or?
Well, I went with my brother and a couple of his mates. So that was about it, really. It was a bad night, Gary. It was really bad. You know what I mean? It was pissing down. And you just, They weren't a great atmosphere, I must admit. It was, you know, and I remember taking a Union Jack with Manchester City on, and that was drenched, you know what I mean? And I took it on I pinched my mum's old curtain rail, and I actually took this on the plane, like a metal rail on the plane. It's like an offensive weapon, wasn't it? You know what I mean? And to the ground and everything, you know. So, and then, you know, we won the cup, and you know, it was just an unreal atmosphere, but we were there. You know, that was the main thing.
So, did you do you remember much about the goals? I mean, obviously, one was a penalty, wasn't it?
And yeah.
Which, you know, Francis Lee scored that, of course.
Yeah,
Neil Young scored the other.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's difficult all these years on, and I know the way the stadium is, but do you remember much about the penalty? And do you remember, was it an obvious one or what?
I think it was an obvious one. I remember Neil Young's goal, actually, because it was like, although we were at the side, it was more to the side that we was at, you know. It was a bit vague. It's a bit vague now, but I just remember the whole experience, you know, of the European Cup Winners' Cup final. And in fact, I've got the programme and I have the ticket somewhere, but I've got I'm not at home at the moment, but I've got it always was the thing for me, the European Cup Winners' Cup, you know, because it was one that all these other teams, I mean, Barcelona had never won in Europe then, or Bayern Munich, or quite a few
Liverpool. Liverpool. And that's one of the things, I suppose it infuriates me that people talk about clubs with history in Europe. And, you know, they'd forgotten about West Ham and they won the European Cup Winners' Cup before us. They'd forgotten about City and, you know, and what we've won. And I think it's important to remember these things. And the Cup Winners' Cup, because it was a one-off final, like the European Cup. I don't know. I suppose it's more dramatic, isn't it? You know, I know when the UEFA Cup was two-legged, wasn't it, for years?
Yeah.
And the Cup Winners' Cup, I know people later on, people sort of saw it maybe as the third sort of choice to competition or whatever, but it wasn't. It was the second most important competition.
Yeah.
And those clubs that won it were quite often the best in Europe in some ways. And, That City team certainly was, wasn't it?
A lot of teams had won the league in their respective country. Sometimes they'd won the cup as well and done the double, but it was either the top two teams in that particular country who were in that, either in the Champions League or European Cup as it was, or the Cup Winners' Cup. Played some good teams, didn't we?
Absolutely. And so the actual sort of like trophy presentation, did that happen on the pitch or was that in a stand?
It happened on the pitch at the far side from where we was. I think where the main bulk of the City fans were on one side. The ones on the other side was the VIPs and families or whatever who were. But there was City fans there. I did manage to get on the pitch, actually.
Did you?
Bit slippery, like. But
did you take curtain pole and flag?
Yeah. There is a picture somewhere. You can just see me flag in the background, but I never made it onto the actual photographs because the players got the trophy then, and then they come across the pitch, you know, and I remember Tony Buck and everybody and George Heslop, you know, and players like that, and Tommy Booth, you know, coming and showing the cup to the fans, you know.
And that kit, the red and black stripes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this became the kit in some ways, didn't it? You know, 69 FA Cup, that, and then the League Cup as well. So how did you feel when that was first introduced, that kit?
Well, that kit was first introduced to Everton.
Yeah.
Malcolm Allison was the coach at the time. And I remember going to Everton that day and they come out in red and black. And I thought, well, a lot of people said, oh, God, they've got red on, you know what I mean? But he based it on the AC Milan kit, didn't he? He ended up a lucky kit, didn't it? So, you know, it has a lot of things in football, look. So.
I know in some of my research, I've done out like letters to the pink, the old pink, and letters to City even. And there were loads of people who complained about that kit initially. And it just shows you, doesn't it? A kit can be criticised right at the start, and then it becomes a classic kit because you end up having success.
Yeah. In fact, I had a replica shirt on at that final.
Oh, right, excellent.
Yeah, the red and black kit,
I know. I know my mum, I don't know what it was, but she made my brother sort of like a red and black striped sort of jacket or something. Right. he was a little bit older than me. It's obviously because it's City colours, but the fact that she didn't do blue, she did red and black sort of stripey thing.
Right.
So I think it just shows how much it sort of got to it. That kit was right. And what about, you know, Malcolm Allison and his boasts and so on, you know?
Allison, it was all took out of context at the time, Gary, because he said, if this team plays like they have winning the league, they'll terrorise Europe. Yeah. He didn't say, we are going to go and terrorise Europe. Mm. He said, if this team plays like they've won the league, they'll terrorise Europe. Everyone says, he said, we'll terrorise Europe. You know?
I interviewed him a couple of times, but in the mid-90s, I did an interview with him. And I was just chatting to him. And I ended up bringing it up, and I said about this comment about terrorising Europe, right? And as soon as I said it, I thought, oh, I shouldn't have said that, right? And he sort of looked at me, and he just looked at me and he went, yeah, I said we'd terrorise Europe, but I just didn't say which year. And I was right. I was right. We did it in 1970. Right. And so, yeah, Malcolm, you were right. You did do it. And what about the players then? Who were your sort of heroes?
Colin Bell for me, the complete footballer.
Yeah,
I remember him coming from Bury, and he didn't look that great. But I think with the Alisson training and the stamina that the City instilled in the team at the time, we were a really fit team. And Colin Bell was the fittest player I've ever seen, really. I mean, it's a different era now, the players we've got now, but, you know, at that time, and if I hadn't been for injury, I think he'd have gone on 100 caps or something for England, me. But, you know, it was a shame he got injured.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, to think that he got injured, and it's not just City, it's England as well that lost out. And obviously, I know we'd missed out on the 74 World Cup, but the 78 World Cup, a fit Colin Bell might have got us to that 78 World Cup. And you know, and you know, everything changes, doesn't it? So I think that's really important, that. And I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult, but Colin Bell could probably play in any era.
Possibly.
You know, people will say, oh, players today are fitter, players of it. Well, if you took Colin Bell and gave him exactly the same playing conditions, exactly the same ball, exactly the same football kit, exactly the same training, Colin Bell would be a true great, wouldn't it? I mean, still, he would absolutely be that. We all know that certain players probably wouldn't, but, you know, Colin Bell, absolutely.
De Bruyne is probably the nearest I've ever seen to Bell. Well, Bell wasn't that. I'm not saying he wasn't that. He didn't have the passing ability of De Bruyne, but the actual overall game, you know, being there at the right time after time is one of the main things in it. So that was it.
And to stand out in a team that was brilliant itself, full of great players, you know, quite often, and I suppose we're to blame in some ways as City fans, but we don't boast about, you know, Mike Doyle, Glyn Pardo, Alan Oakes. We talk about Ben Lee some of it, but we don't. Yeah. But those other players, and Tony Book as captain.
Yeah. If Tony Book had been a little slightly younger, I think he'd have got an England call up, me. And there was talk of it at one point, you know. Alan Oakes missed out on an England cap. Neil Young, he missed out, really. Because you had the Bells and Summerby and Lee, didn't you? All England internationals.
And I think because England had won the World Cup in 66, there was probably it would have been difficult to replace some of those England 66 players.
Well, Bobby Moore was the left side.
So, okay, we win the cup. Did you celebrate? Well, of course you celebrated.
Well, what we did then, we got the coach picked us up. It wasn't like Istanbul, they actually picked you up. We took us back to the centre of Vienna, dropped us off right near our hotel. There was a bar in the hotel. I mean, I was only 16, so we went in the bar. We had a few drinks. It wasn't a mega, mega celebration, but it was great. We were soaking wet, you know. So we all sat in the bar, had a few drinks, and basically we was coming back to Manchester the next day. I can't remember, but it was fairly early-ish, I'd say about 9 o'clock. And everyone was saying, oh, well, they're going to do the parade, you see, in Albert Square Thursday afternoon, which they did. But our flight, when we went to the airport, the Danair flight crew were involved in a car accident. And I think one of them actually died. So the plane was completely delayed, and they had to get another air crew flown out from Manchester. So we were delayed. So we didn't get home till late Thursday night. So we missed all the parade.
That's a shame. I mean, I suppose that's always the way, isn't it? The same happened this time. A lot of people still in Istanbul, weren't they, on the Monday, and missed it.
Yeah.
So moving forward then, obviously you went to the final in Portugal.
Yeah.
As well, didn't you? And I was there, and I guess that was a completely different feeling in many ways.
Yeah, Yeah.
So do you have some of your main memories from that?
Well, first of all, was getting a ticket because we only got 6,000 tickets. And I would never join Platinum, right? Because I thought my loyalty, they didn't have to pay 50 quid a season for me loyalty. You know, my loyalty's got a track record. So I'm not a major points person. These people were 25, 26,000 points. So when it come down to the sale, I just missed out on the sale of the tickets. But we'd already booked to go. So we was going on the Friday and coming back on the Sunday to Porto. So when UEFA put the tickets on that website where you could log on, and if you were lucky enough, you got a ticket. That was, I think, the week before the final. I was actually at work then, and I was on my phone doing this. You had to log in, and you had to get on the portal, and you had to bloody all that lot. And when they come on sale, I kept pressing yes, bye, and he kept saying, "Sorry, you're unsuccessful. Sorry, you're unsuccessful." Then I said to my mate at work, I was working then, I said, "I'm not going to get a ticket for this." So I pressed it. He said, "You are successful." Right. A €500 ticket I got. Right. So that was my ticket, €500.
Expensive.
And we went, again, a few friends this time. We went on the Friday. Great time in Porto on the Friday and the Saturday leading up to the game. And then Pep played his masterstroke, didn't he? Didn't play a defensive midfielder. So I still think we should have won, but...
Yeah. I mean, it did feel... Once we knew the team, it did feel as if the advantage swung to Chelsea. And I don't... It just... There's a mood thing, wasn't it? It sort of affected our mood. So maybe in the end, that's part of it. You know, the general mood of fans as well that sort of contributes. I don't know, but... Yeah, it was...
And again, then at the stadium, it was all COVID, wasn't it? You was all... So many seats between each people. So I was on the halfway line opposite where they came out, opposite the benches. I had a fairly good view, but it weren't worth €500. No way.
No.
And there was Chelsea fans nearby and City fans. Yeah. You know, it didn't feel great, but...
There did seem to be a weird thing where there was like a block of City fans with Chelsea fans either side, and then there was more City fans. It just... There's a few odd things about that. And I think I also thought that, yes, COVID was the issue, but they still seemed to put us all in a tight area, and then there were big gaps in other parts. And it just seemed a bit crazy. Yeah. And how do you feel about the fact it was an English team? Is that... Does that... detract from it, or what? I don't.
Well, I'd rather not play an English team in the final. Like last season, when we should have gone, with Madrid, I weren't looking forward to playing Liverpool in the final. You know, I just wouldn't. Just from the fan thing, it wouldn't have been the same experience, I don't think.
Yeah.
The Chelsea one weren't as bad as I thought. I mean, I thought there'd be a bit of trouble, but it wasn't that. And then the Chelsea fans, we met quite a few Chelsea fans when we were there, and they all said, "We're going to get hammered."
Right.
They all said, "We're going to get hammered, Chelsea. You know, we've just come for the ride, just come for the..." And I agreed with them, really, but that was it. You know, we didn't... You know,
we soon learned, didn't we?
I think he went out. I think he went all guns blazing and tried and get it over in the first 20 minutes, and it didn't work.
And De Bruyne's injury as well affected us straight away, didn't it? You know, that was a major blow, and that was one of the worries I had this year as well. You know, once De Bruyne got injured, you start saying, "Oh, it's not again, is it?" You know?
Yeah. Well, I thought on the day, I thought certain players let us down. I thought Sterling, who'd not been playing well up to that final. Pep gave him that chance as a platform. He was an England international. He gave him that chance to like win it, you know. But he just wasn't in it, was he? You know.
No. And so Yeah, it was frustrating, wasn't it? Oh, I mean, it's difficult. We can sort of look back on it now and go, oh, yeah, and because we've won it since. But I did think at one point, I knew we'd be back at some point. I did feel we'd be back. But there was that feeling, I had this feeling that...
That was the best chance.
Yeah, we might not... That was our best chance, and we might be back. But next time we come back, we might be playing a brilliant Real Madrid side or a brilliant Barcelona. You know, you just don't know how it goes, do you?
No.
Okay, so I suppose moving on to this year is probably the best thing to do.
Well, just that, I mean, Porto, just to finish off, we had to walk back into Porto. We weren't on the free six, you know, coaches. Yeah. There was no bars open. We didn't get a drink or nothing, you know what I mean? It was like a damp squib, you know what I mean? And then the next morning we was out there early-ish on the plane back to Manchester.
Yeah, it was a bit bizarre, wasn't it? Because they put it in Portugal because of COVID. It was moved from Istanbul to Portugal. Yeah. And then within a couple of days of us all coming home, Portugal was closed down again, wasn't it? We weren't allowed to travel there. It felt as if there's a lot of things about it that perhaps just shouldn't have been. It just shouldn't have been. It should have. Maybe the final should never have been there. Maybe the final should have been. They could have put it at Wembley, couldn't they? I mean,
yeah, of course we could. Yeah.
It would have been. It would have made a lot more sense. How about Wembley? And I also think that if it had been Wembley, we'd have probably beat Chelsea.
Probably.
Just the way it was. Yeah. So after that final against Chelsea, then. Did you feel, and again, you know, the year after, obviously, we don't get there again and that, but did you feel that it really was a lost chance, or did you feel that...
I thought that was a lost chance against Chelsea. I thought we should have, you know, with the way, you know, we'd won the league, hadn't we? I thought that was our chance. Chelsea weren't that great a team at the time. I just thought that was the chance we should have won it, but... I think I always thought they would get there again, but like you say, you could have turned up against Bayern Munich or anyone in Europe, you know, and lose again, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we should have got through against Madrid, you know, no two ways about it, you know. But it wasn't to be. And then you think, are we going to ever win it?
Yeah, we've had a few of those, haven't we? Where, because there's that other COVID one where we played the semi-final and the finals in a few days or whatever it was, and there were no fans there. And you sort of think, well, we should have done that one as well. You know, it's just the way it is. So then we move to this year. And take yourself back, first of all, to we've gone through the group stage, we've done all of that, and then we get the draw and we know we're going to play Bayern Munich. And then we know that it was probably going to be Real Madrid, you know, the way the draw was. How did you feel about that?
I always feel against Real Madrid that UEFA will do something, they'll spin it, you know. These refs are certainly not always made out to be so goody-goody two-shoes, are they? So there's always that bent side of it. But I thought on our day we'll beat Real Madrid, you know, especially if we get a result in Madrid, which we did. I mean, the previous season we won there, didn't we? You know, so I think they are slightly more frightened of us than we are of them, really. So I thought if we beat Madrid, we would win it. The only one I was worried about was Napoli, and they didn't even make it there. So
you know, it's a good job it wasn't Napoli in the final. I mean, that because with the chaos, I always felt that I wasn't when we drew Bayern Munich and then met Real Madrid. I sort of felt that it felt right this time.
Yeah, and that's exactly.
I think that was partly because it wasn't an English club. If we'd have played, you know, Tottenham instead of Bayern Munich or whoever, you know, it doesn't matter which team it is. But if we'd have played an English team, it wouldn't have been the same. And so beating Bayern Munich, thrashing Real Madrid, and then you're playing at one point it could have been either of the Milan teams, couldn't it? But yeah. Whichever one, it didn't matter. Yeah. They were a giant. And so facing Inter Milan, I always felt it was going to happen this time. And if it did, they absolutely deserved it, you know.
Correct. Yeah. They deserved it on the teams that we beat on the way.
Absolutely. You know, it wasn't easy. And obviously, you know, people can talk about trebles and which treble's best or whatever. But to have to face those giants of European football to get to that final and then face another one in the final.
I've been saying lately, when United won the treble, they weren't the champions of England when they entered it.
Mm.
They were runners up. And then they won the final. All right. 2 goals in the last few minutes, but they weren't the better side in the final. Bayern Munich were a far better side.
Yeah, I think there's always, like with the Aguero moment for us,
there's
the emotion that comes with that, which takes it to a different level from an experience point of view.
Yeah.
But when you stand back and look at the specifics of a football game, if you're coming from a couple of goals behind, you've not played well for part of that game, at least, have you? And the other thing about the treble is, if anyone says anything, well, we had to beat Manchester United final of the FA Cup. If you don't think our treble's as good as yours, then you don't think you're a good team, you know. You can't have it both ways, can you? What was your final like this time? So did you fly over a couple of days before or anything?
This time, I've got grandkids who want to go on there, so... life changes. So I always promised the younger one, the one who's he's 13, going on 14, he plays for Wigan under 13s, 14s next season. I said, if we get to Europe, Champions League, I'll take you. Now, the other one, he's 18, so he said he goes everywhere anyhow, home and away. So that was it. There were 3 of us going. So after the night of Madrid, we booked the flights. But I've got a daughter who lives in Turkey. She lives in Fethiye, which is southern Turkey, seaside place. And so we said, we'll come and stay with you, Wendy, for 3 nights. We'll fly to Istanbul. And then we'll fly home from Istanbul.
Right,
that was it. So we booked the flights. And then their mum, my daughter, I want to come. Then Wendy in Turkey said, can you get me a ticket? Because I'll come to Istanbul with you. So then my granddaughter, who's in Cyprus, who's studying at university because she's Turkish, half Turkish, said, I want to come. So in the end, 7 of us went in various ways. We all went out together and we met my daughter in Fethiye, stayed there, and then we flew up to Istanbul. We stayed in Istanbul 2 nights and then we came back and our flight back from Istanbul had got cancelled. So we had to do another 2 nights in Fethiye. Right. And we came back on the Tuesday. So we had a week there, really. Yeah,
I missed the homecoming parade again.
We missed it again. Yeah, it might be an opening this.
So if ever we get to another 5,
I'll not bother.
Yeah, don't even try coming back. But what about then the travel to the stadium on the day of the game?
Right. Like one of the things because I've been to Istanbul once before and I told all my mates, I said it's completely different to any other city. Not every other city, but it's a massive, massive place.
Yeah.
I said, and it's full of people, you know what I mean? Mm. And cars and everything. I said, it's not like London and it won't be like Manchester, you know, or we'll walk from the town centre to the ground where you won't, you know. So I was half expecting, but I was glad that my daughter come with us because she can speak fully Turkish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got to the hotel and everything. And then on the day, what happened really as well, she knew someone in Turkey who worked for the government in Istanbul. Plus she knew his dad. And he provided a driver for a car for us. So we had a car.
Right.
Well, we had two cars because there were seven of us. So they took us down to the fan zone on the day of the game, right. Which was, what was it, Yen Cafe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yen Cafe. To get. So I said, we'll go down there because our new friends were going down there. We'll meet there. We'll get the bus to the ground. The driver said, oh, well, I can run you. He said, you won't get anywhere near the ground. Leave it. If you can meet us afterwards, maybe. Yeah. But then we said, well, we'll get the buses back to Yenikapi, then they can meet us there. So we went on the bus, again, queued up for ages for the bus, because everyone was saying, you've got to be at the ground a certain time and all that lot. We queued up, eventually got on the bus. It took us 2 hours, I think. Someone was sick on the bus. It was red hot, you know. It was diabolical, really. You know, you shouldn't be 2 hours away from a fan zone.
No,
to a stadium. You know,
it shouldn't be. And it was only supposed to be a 50-minute journey anyway, wasn't it? But my hours was over 2 hours as well. You know, it's ridiculous.
Then we got to the stadium. So the fan zone there again, meeting other friends. You know, because everyone's like trying to contact each other. They'd run out of beer. The girls went looking for toilets. They eventually found toilets. It was, again, diabolical. You know, it was on a shale croft that looked like, you know, it was hardcore, half of it, you know. And then with the way the tickets were, my grandson had got all four tickets on the UEFA app, so they were all on his phone. So there was me and two boys, and my younger granddaughter was with us. We were in one. My daughter was on her own, and my daughter in Turkey and my other granddaughter were in separate seats, all in that same stand. So when we got to the entrance, I think it was entrance 29, something like that, it was chaos. We started off queuing, and then it just got to a melee of all people. So somebody said, oh, women have got to go on the left-hand side to be searched by a woman. So I had my granddaughter, so I said, right, let's go there. So we managed to walk our way through. City fans were letting us through a little bit. So we get to this narrow passageway. So the woman there, the UEFA, there was a woman, policewoman, and there was a guy, UEFA, youngest lad. So he said, oh, no, one person with the girl. So I said, no. I said, we're all on the same ticket. He said, no. I said, we're all on the same ticket. He said, you're lucky you're coming in, he said to me. I went, you're joking, why? He said, no. He said, one ticket. Then the policewoman said something to him, and they let us in. Let all four of us in, because we're all four on the same ticket. He was saying we had to go that way and they had to go that way, you know, ridiculous. They took his banana off the grandson, his bloke banana. They checked the flag, because we had a flag which was Astley and Silsley Supporters Club. You know, someone you must have deciphered.
You didn't bring your curtain pole.
No, I didn't know. I don't think they got him with that. You'd have got him with fireworks, or you know what I mean? But you wouldn't have got him with that, you know. And then we got in and found the toilets, not the best of things, and that was it, really. Once I was in, I never moved from my seat. They had a little walk a bit, but I didn't move from my seat. I didn't even go to the toilet, I don't think, after that. And then the game started, you know.
So what do you think of the final itself then?
Well, it wasn't as easy as I thought it might have been. I think the De Bruyne injury, like you say, maybe changed a little bit, but it's nice to see Foden in, you know. I mean, if we could play with 13 players, we'd get away with Foden in one way. But, you know, I think overall we're the better side. It got a bit hectic near the end.
Edison's knee saving us, you know.
Well, my partner lives in Sheffield, and that's where I am now. And she's not interested in football. She did watch it, and she said, I got a text and it had, what a save. And I said to my grandson, I said, bloody hell, it must be a good save because she don't know nothing about football. So, but that was the save at the end when he tipped it around the...
Yeah,
you know, he tipped it away, didn't he?
Yeah.
The very last minute.
It hit the bar at one point as well, didn't he?
Well, it was one off his knee. But the one he tipped round in the last minute, that. And the ball come down, and then they blew for time.
Yeah. I mean, I think we deserve to win it, but those final, it could have, it's one of those, it could have gone, couldn't it? You know?
Yeah, well, they were throwing everything at us, really, then. You know, the goalie was nearly going up, wasn't he?
Yeah, and that's the, I mean, that's the good thing, if you like, that we managed to withstand all of that. But they didn't just roll over, did they? They won. They were still at it in those dying seconds. So that was great. And then, were you behind the goal or were you on the side?
I was behind the goal, right underneath the scoreboard. Actually, it was about six rows from the scoreboard.
Oh, right,
so we was right behind the goal. Right, you've seen Rodri's goal. You know, perfectly.
Yeah. So I was in block 327, so I'd have been just to the right of you somewhere.
Right.
But I was like row 12. So obviously the angle's different, but I mean, the fact that it's a good job Rodri scored at our end, because I don't think any of us would have seen the other end. But
No.
The game, think about the goal for a minute. I'm always nervous these days about VAR. So when it was scored, before that, they'd been this. It looked as if they'd been in some sort of handball or something. Just a bit earlier. Yeah. I was worried that it was going to be taken back and disallowed.
I didn't think of VAR at the time because the players were all celebrating so much. So I thought, and that Rodri was far out, so he couldn't have been offside or out. You know, so then I waited for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you waited for it a little bit. But everyone's got them scar marks on the back of the legs, haven't they? Because of the seats. The so my two grandsons both had scar marks on the legs after the celebration, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
It was a great moment. Great moment.
And how did it feel then being able to share that with your grandchildren?
Well, it was brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. Great times.
If you think about it, I mean, you obviously, you're about the same age as one of them back in 1970, bit younger. But it sort of comes full circle, doesn't it? You enjoy that when you're their sort of age, similar to their age. And there you are all these years later, enjoying the same sort of moment
with them.
That must be great.
That's what I wanted to do.
And so, obviously, after the game, the celebrations and everything. Well, how did it go for you?
Well, you celebrate in the stadium, you watch them get the trophy, everyone's joining, everyone's absolutely buzzing, aren't they? Everything happened, you watch the players, and the players remained on the pitch for a long time, didn't they?
Yeah.
So we said, right, we better make a move, you know? So we met, everyone met up then, and we arranged to meet at a certain point, which actually happened. Kate comes out, where's these coaches? So Al Wendy says to one of the policemen, where's the coaches? He says, oh, down here pointing in Turkish. We went down there, there was no coaches down there. And there was people, I seen people dragging wheelchairs across the shale, you know. There was quite a few people, because we sat down for a little bit for one moment. And this elderly couple said to me, where are the coaches? I said, I'm not a clue, mate. I can't help you. You know, the road was chaos. And I noticed as we walked down, there was massive big floodlights, but they weren't lit. There was no lights on.
I didn't see those. It was dark.
It was like a mugger's paradise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And another thing, Gary, prior to the game, near the entrances, there was people asking for tickets.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're supposed to have got through.
All those security things. Because we had
seen someone, as we were walking up, there was sheep on the right. You've seen them.
We saw the goats. I saw goats.
Goats or whatever.
Yeah.
And then on the left, a little bit further up, is this lad. he pulls all the fencing away and he nips through.
There was some kids when we went in, we went through the turnstile, the sort of first lot of turnstiles, because we did the, you know, the where they validated your ticket, whatever.
Yeah.
And beyond that was not supposed to be anyone. And there's some kids who had got into that bit. Now they ended up telling them they had to leave, but how? And there were people selling stuff in there as well. And I just, and not only that, if you think about it, right back at Yeni Kapi before you got on the buses, you had to go through security to get on those buses.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've had security in three or four different places. And then there's still all these people who clearly have somehow avoided security. So what happened then? Did you manage to find a bus?
No, we couldn't find the buses. So our drivers then, we still had the drivers.
Oh, yes.
So they were in contact on the phone. And what they did, we walked quite a way, and it ended up like it was like the Mancunian Way, basically.
Yeah.
And there was a junction. So we come to this junction, and I could see the traffic was going down and getting away from that. There was taxis everywhere, and people offering you, you know, you want a lift, you know, taxi, baiting for your custom. Yeah. So I said, well, if we hang on a bit here, you contact them, tell them exactly where we are, you know, with the sat navs and all that lot. Anyhow, these two lads were belting drivers for Turkey. They were in and out traffic like they do. If they can get in front of one car in front, they seem as though they've done the job, doesn't it? You know. So within about 20 minutes, they come and picked us up, and they managed to get through the traffic. And then we went down this slip road, and quarter of an hour, we was back at our hotel.
All right, excellent, good. Yeah. I think it's one of those things, isn't it? We've all learned, but you know, we were told we had the same sort of issues at the Coach Park. We then went to, somebody told us about the metro, so we went to try and get the metro, and then we kept being told it was closed. We kept being turned back, it was closed. So we ended up going back to the Coach Park. And by this time, we've got there's another family walking with us who had a kid who was about seven. Can't have been any older than seven. He was absolutely shattered. Poor lad, you know. And a coach driver seemed to take pity on us because he basically got us onto his bus. It was packed, but he got us onto his bus when perhaps he shouldn't have done. And so we were relieved to get on there. And then we still sat there for ages and ages. And it was about, in the end, it was about half past, it was about 4 o'clock when we got back to Yeni Kapi, and about half past four in the morning when we got back to our hotel. But it was just chaotic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely chaotic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chaotic.
So thinking
it was about... It was a wonder no one seriously got hurt or, you know.
Yeah, I think it was down to the fans. I think that if the City and Milan fans had behaved differently, then it could have been a disaster. I mean, it absolutely could have been. But fortunately, both the City and the Inter Milan fans were behaved and seemed to be still friendly. I mean, the Inter Milan fans that we saw afterwards didn't seem to be any kind of issue whatsoever, you know.
Well, before the game, there was, on the Friday night, there was three or four Inter Milan fans coming to the hotel and they were having a bit of a banter with them, nothing. Yeah. And he said, scorer said, it's going to be 5-1 and Zeko will get the one. Right, and he's laughing, and then the same lads when we got back to the hotel, just as we got back there, they just got out of a taxi. So I said, "We won, you know," and he went, "Yes, we've won it 3 times." He said,
"And that's the point." I think they expected. I think they expected to lose, so I think that probably changed that. You know, if you go into a game expecting to lose and you do lose, but it's only 1-0 and you've played well.
Yeah,
obviously it's disappointing, but I guess it's not as bad as it could have been, you know.
No.
So a bit like the old derby matches with us, you know, we'd celebrate if we'd score or whatever, wouldn't we, you know?
I've got a draw.
So thinking about the three different finals then, obviously different experiences, what was the best? Which one of those three was the best? I know which one's the worst, I can tell, but which one was the best?
Well, different areas, Gary. I put them both on par. It's nice to win the Champions League. I was never a typical City fan. we looked like like fish out of water when we first got in the Champions League. But everything seemed to go against us all the time. So, and I thought it was always bent. It's ironic that, you know, UEFA took us to all them charges and they're handing us the cup, and the Premier League took us to 215 charges and they're giving us the Premier League in the same season. So, you know, I class them both as good. Different areas in my life, different times in my life. Nice when I was 16. I thought we'd be the best in the world then. Things changed. Now, I think we are the best in the world. Best club side in the world, aren't you?
I think it's important as well, because a lot of people will talk about where City were in 1998 and 1999, yeah, and about that journey from there. But you certainly know, because you know you were there in 1970. But City, that period in the late 90s, that's the bit that was out of character with our entire history, really, if you think about it. You know, like most clubs, we've had great moments and we've had bad moments. We've had promotions, we've had titles, we've had relegations, like most clubs, right? So to define a club on those sort of 5 years of failure at the end of the 90s is not fair. Okay. And I think one of the things that's important, and one of the reasons why I was keen to sort of do this, really, is to say, well, look, back then, City were a major European power. Yeah. Felt we could win any trophy and did to some extent, you know. And then things went wrong and we failed for a while. And now City are back as a major power. Let's face it, it's much more significant, the success in recent years, than at any other period. We know that.
Of course,
it's that's only the same as, you know, Liverpool had a great era in the 70s and 80s. United had a great era in the 90s and 2000s. It's our great era now. It's just the way it is, you know.
The big difference was 32 quid for the trip, whereas £156 for a ticket at Istanbul, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, but, and I suppose as well, I know you obviously there were issues in 1970, but the travel seems to have been a lot easier in the end in 1970.
It probably was. Probably was. We didn't have any problem with the travel, you know. No, they dropped us right near the ground. Mind you, like you said, there was only 12,000 people there, as against whatever it was, 70,000 at Turkey, you know.
At least you were dry this year.
Sunburn.
So of the current team then, who's your favourite player? De Bruyne or?
Well, too many to mention, isn't it? But De Bruyne, you know, he was signed before Pep got there, and he's consistently been great, hasn't he? Consistently. He had these little spells where he seems to go out of the games now and again, but you know, he's consistently done it for about 8 or 9 years, 8 years probably.
And I think it's also a bit of a mark of a man that when we had that final in Porto, his loss was a major blow to us at that time. This year, his loss could have been a major blow, but fortunately, the squad, the selection was right, the squad was right, the mood was right,
I mean, I think we've got a settled way of playing. I think Pep's, it's on another way of playing football, hasn't it? With the inverted fullback or whatever you want to call it. And I think that's what we'll do. We'll sign someone for that specific role, because John Stones, absolutely brilliant at it, but he's injury prone. And if he goes out of the team and he's injured, and I think they'll just rely on Stonesy to be a defender again. But I think they'll sign someone for that role, mate. It might be this... in from Chelsea, Kovacic, whatever his name is, to play that role.
What about, and this is a difficult one, obviously we talked about Malcolm Allison and 1970, and Malcolm Allison was a coach who was ahead of his time and was a brilliant coach. Yeah. And Pep Guardiola is basically the same, a brilliant coach ahead of his time.
Yeah.
I know it's impossible, but could you compare them? You know, are they similar in a lot of ways? Or
Alisson, when he comes to City, he took on United, who were, again, the power of power then. But he took United on, and he that was why the fans loved him, because he was outspoken. You know, he didn't, you know, everyone in the media, it's like they used to, or still do, butter up to United. He would not have any of it. And Mancini would not have any of it. That's why Mancini's the same.
Yeah.
Pep respects people, doesn't he? The way he respects everybody. He gives everyone a total respect. But he knows what it is to beat United. He's actually got that down now. He knows what it is to beat them. Tactically, Alisson was probably way ahead, you know, at the time for other people in the game there and then. But he just had his... Sometimes we didn't have the players, maybe, or, you know, to fit in, you know. I mean, who would bring a Polish guy, half German, and make him captain who couldn't speak English in Dragoslav Stepanovic? He made him captain. He couldn't even speak English.
Yeah.
You know, he got rid of Barnes and he got rid of Gary Owen, Alisson, and signed players who were never a patch on them too.
Yeah, I think he got a bit... I suppose, I don't know.
He was a great coach, but not a manager.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the difference, isn't it? Pep's, they're both probably good managers and probably good to work with young players, but ultimately as a team manager, Pep's streets ahead of Malcolm Allison. But Malcolm Allison may have been just as good a coach. And, you know, if Malcolm Allison was in the modern game, who knows how he'd have been. But as a manager, he could never have done that. So, yes, but and I suppose when you come back to a club, you know, because Howard Kendall did it at Everton, you go back and it's not the same, is it?
No.
You know, and that's the thing. So if Pep Guardiola ever left, if he came back 8 years later, you know, who knows? You can't rekindle it, and it's always going to be comparisons. Oh. I'm conscious about how much time we've taken and so
oh,
on,
it's all right. It's great, Gary. It's great.
But this has been good. Thanks for your time this morning, man.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Yes, thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.